Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2023 The Memorial at Jack's Place. Always a fun event, elevated event this year. I believe it's only Max Homa and Tony Finau are the two biggest dogs not making it this week. And Max even tweeted out he's not making it because it's his sister's wedding. So he said, deal with it. Some things are more important than golf. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. A little half day Monday for the holiday, and got some more golf coming up here. We got an elevated event this week. We got the U.S. Open next week. Oh, no, we got RBC Canadian Open next week.
Yep.
Then the U.S. Open. My
correct.
Bad.
Yep.
But
U.S. Open's Father's Day weekend.
So we got some fun golf coming up here. Loaded couple months to enjoy before the FedEx playoffs and things wind down and we figure out what to do with the rest of our lives. So, yeah, that's pretty good. We saw Emiliano Grillo win this past week in Texas. I watched a lot of Saturday's action. The course was eating people alive on Saturday. It was pretty impressive between wind and just baked out conditions because they're renovating the whole course. They just stopped caring about it. They just let it go to complete shit over the weekend, which – it's kind of frustrating, honestly, but what was your thoughts on the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch any of it on the weekend. I watched a lot on the Thursday, Friday, but yeah, Grillo getting his first win, we were talking about beforehand, you know, it's a long time coming for him. Congrats to everybody who's down millions betting him over the years.
They're all heroes yesterday.
I mean, he's a DFS OG, man. I mean, he's been around on tour for a long time. As long as I've been, you know, following it, as long as we've been doing this, I feel like the real story and the funnest part about the first 2 days though was Michael Block.
I was waiting for this. Oh yeah, no, I'm with you. The man of the people, or how are we going about this now?
Whatever. Yeah,
DFL.
Yeah, He set himself up. I mean, like, I get it. You got some confidence going into the next event or whatever because you did play just all-time heater for 4 days at the PGA Championship. Probably did way too many interviews. Didn't want to say no to anybody, but at the same time, like, you got to watch a little bit what you say on the interviews. Like, when somebody asks you what's the difference between yours and Rory's game, it's not he hits it 50 yards farther than me. Yeah.
That might be the starting point, but you better have about 40 more things coming after that.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's just a ridiculous comment. I saw people on Twitter, you know, trying to make excuses for him. Oh, he's just saying all kinds of different things, and he doesn't, you know, maybe you'd say something you regretted too if you were on every podcast, but he never did walk it back, and then it was just absolutely brutal the first day. I mean, God, the Twitter was fun though. I mean, it was a blast to be on Twitter Thursday.
Yes, it was. I realized we weren't the only ones talking crap last week. Let's put it that way.
That rubbed people a lot of people the wrong way. I mean, that comment, it's one thing, you know, he's had chances. It's not like he's brand new. You know, he's had opportunities to compete on the PGA Tour, and he's never done it except for one weekend. At the PGA Championship on the biggest stage, don't get me wrong. I heard he got offered $50,000 for a 7-iron. Did you hear this?
Yeah, the one he got the hole in one with. Yeah,
yeah. And that would have been gone.
Yeah, it was $50,000 to the PGA Hall of Fame, like gone.
Oh, take is it. That what it was? Yeah,
that's what I was told. Yeah. The PGA Hall 100%. Of Fame wanted it. Like, hey, here you go, have it. I figured you wanted it for free because you're the Hall of Fame of the PGA Tour. But 50 grand, yeah, sure, sounds good.
I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. I guess he'll be back next week, assuming he...
Yeah, how bad are the people at the RBC Canadian Open regretting that freaking decision?
I feel like there's a lot of guns jumped here, man. I mean, you know, I don't think he spent his time wisely between Sunday and Thursday, but you could just see it from the very beginning that, like, this is going to be a long day on Thursday, and it was. I mean... Yeah, it's rough to watch. I don't really feel bad for him, though, just because I feel like he set himself up for that, and it is what it is.
I had you and multiple other people texting me throughout the day because I was working, and I always do a Thursday Night Baseball pod, so I had the replay on, and I'm watching it while I'm recording. I'm just, like, have a smirk on my face the entire time because it's just, like he hit a ball on, I think it was 18. He's probably already just, like, mentally just done with everything. He hooked it so far left, snap hooked it, and he just, like, drops his club and shrugs his shoulders, and I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What is going on?
I mean, it was bizarre, man. I mean, he did come back a little bit, obviously shot 74, nowhere near the cut. But in between that, he's talking about, well, you know, I've shot 59, 58 in my life.
He's trying to pump himself up. Got to shoot 11 under just to get even. He shot 11 over the first day. He's got to shoot 59.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bizarre world.
And then he's out there, you know, wanting to go see his family, but he has time for 2 hours to drink and sign autographs afterwards.
It's just a lot to it. I'm glad that we don't have to deal with it this week and we can move on. I'm really excited for the Memorial. It's always a really good tournament. But, yeah, I mean, normally Colonial's not a memorable tournament for me, but Griot winning – Block DFL, it's one of the ones that's gonna stay around for a while.
Because Griot winning, you had some other guys hanging around up top that were fun to watch.
Harry Hall out of nowhere, you know, eight under on Thursday.
I will say one of the funnier things I heard here is Saturday. I watched it briefly, so I might have to be Saturday. I'm totally blanking now. Trevor Immelman in the booth, he goes, Harry Hall, he looks like a guy out of Peaky Blinders. Or no, I think Larry Nance, or Jim Nance says, he looks like a guy out of Peaky Blinders. And Immelman goes, actually, Jim, that's his favorite TV show. And he goes on this whole rant about it. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is freaking great.
I mean, it's a great TV show.
It is a great TV. And he looked just like it. He's got the accent and everything. Like, it fits. It fits.
We were calling him the ghost of Ben Hogan.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, he was special 62 on Thursday.
On that course, the way that course was playing, yes. That was nasty.
Yeah,
nasty stuff.
Yeah, and it sucks they couldn't hold on, but I get it.
Because even like it was early Saturday, I think he like double-double, and then he battled back to even on the day and stuff. Like, kid's got game. So it'll be interesting to see how he keeps carrying that one over. That's why I like those kind of tournaments. You still had enough big guys to keep it interesting, and Scotty was always hanging around. Hovland made a run late. But then you also have a ton of these younger guys getting a chance to kind of show what they got on a very tough golf course. Like Max Homa came, he tweeted it before the wedding thing that I was telling you about. Like you said, he finished like T15 or something, like 500 or something like that. Maybe not. I can't remember what it was. He said he finished. He's pretty happy with it. And he goes, something about it being like one of the hardest single golf courses he'll play every year, and he loves playing it. Like, it's T9. Just one of those things.
To Mahoma?
Yeah, T9. So, yeah. He was pretty pumped about it. Like, it's such a challenging golf course that makes you play golf. And he was it was good to see these guys take care of business.
Yeah, they just
over the weekend
made it as hard as it possibly could be.
Yeah,
didn't water the greens at all. Like, they were talking about the greens being purple because they were just
nasty. You know? They were nasty looking. Like, they'd hit the front of the green and it would end off. It was like a U.S. Open. It was off the green. It was nuts. So we'll see what it looks like next year, fully renovated.
Yeah,
a chance to have some fun with that again. But all right, let's talk about a course that got renovated a few years back. I remember seeing videos of the machines coming onto the course while the final groups were finishing holes. Like, that was, it was almost like, hey, you guys can like wait a little bit, maybe.
Yeah,
like
they baked this place out that year, if you remember, too.
Yeah, they baked it out.
Done.
They were tearing it apart. They were in the fairway, ripping out fairways while guys were on the final green. It's like,
yeah, I remember.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what do you got for some passive history on the Memorial?
Yeah, last year, Billy Horschel was the winner. 13 under, four shots over Aaron Wise. Patrick Cantlay has won this twice, the second time in 2021, 13 under playoff over Morikawa. John Rahm was the 2020 champion, 9 under, three shots over Palmer. Cantlay shot 19 under. I feel like that's like right before they renovated it. Was that like around then?
Sounds about right. Yeah, I think it's been about 2 or 3 years since renovation.
Gotcha. Cantlay was two shots over Adam Scott that year. Bryson DeChambeau was the 18 winner, 15 under playoff. Ben On, Kyle Stanley, Jason Duffner won it in 2017. William McGirt won it in 2016. 2015 was David Lingmerth. Hideki's past champion. Tigers won it five times. Justin Rose past champion. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, the renovation was after 2020, so it's only been a couple of years.
Yeah, that because I guess in 2020 it was 9 under. That's when they baked it out.
So that was the one. And Rahm was supposed to win also, and he got the COVID thing on Sunday after he was smoking the field. So keep that.
What year was that? Was that 21?
That was the year. That was the COVID year. So that'll be 20.
That had to be in 21, I think, because he won in 20.
It was the year Cantlay won.
Yeah, so 21.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he was like 19 under. He was way ahead of it.
And he was pissed because he's like, I have no symptoms. They're letting other guys play by themselves with their caddies. Why can't you let me play by myself? Everything you said, looking back now, not far off.
Yeah. But yeah,
those were the rules back then, unfortunately. So just remember that when you think about John Rahm in this golf course. We'll talk about him in a bit. He destroys this place because he's John Rahm. But this place we're speaking of is Muirfield Village. Jack's Place, par 72, 751 yards. Obviously, Jack's designs his golf courses to make you hit certain spots to lead into your next. He wants you to play golf, not just bombs away. It is a long golf course, so distance 100% helps here. But he also, like, 12 holes have water. There's going to be bunkers all over the place. There's tree lines all over the fairways. The rough is super penal. So he wants you to hit fairways, like, means, hey, if you got to take your driver out, take your driver out. Make sure you make the fairway. The par fours, a lot, most of them range between 450 and 500 yards. The par fives, there's four of them. They're the only four holes in the entire golf course that play under par. So that tells you bogey avoidance everywhere else is huge. That's why most scores are in the, like, you know, 9 to 13 range, give or take. Some guys get hot when the weather helps out a ton, but the fairways are super wide. Don't get me wrong. They're the 15th widest fairways on tour, but with the rough being so penal, do you really want to play those games type situation? Right. The average, I was reading somewhere today, actually, so the winning score might be, like, say, anywhere like 9 to 13 under, but the overall average score of everyone that makes the cut is barely under par. That tells you how difficult this course can play. So
yeah,
bogey avoidance, par 5 scoring, approach game is tremendously important here. And you these greens aren't hard to putt on, though. That is one thing. Like, if you can get there with your good approach game, you're going to give yourself chances to score, and that's why guys can go low from time to time. But it's a great course, and it's going to be a hell of a test with this field this week. So what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I weigh accuracy over more so over distance this week. Birdie or better, I think, you know, obviously for the winner, if you're just trying to find guys who make cuts, bogey avoidance, but plenty of course history. So I weigh that quite a bit, too.
Yep, plenty of that course history does come into play here, even with the renovation. It's still a lot of things don't change much at this golf course. But let's get into the DK picks of the week. We got five guys over 10K. Yeah, Scottie Scheffler at 11.3, John Rahm at 11,000, Rory at 10.6, Cantlay at 10.5, Xander at 10.2. That is, in my model, 1, 4, 8, 2, and 3. Go figure. The one thing I'll say before I give it to you is when you talk about accuracy, I talk about good drives. Okay, this field, it's an invitational because it's Jack's Place. So it should be around 120-ish people, give or take. Yep. T65 still make the tie. T65 and ties make the cut, I mean. Can you guess what Rory rates in this field on good drive percentages over the last 24 rounds?
Mm, 80th.
101st. So if you guys want to pick a spot of why Rory's game's off a bit, because he is exquisite in everything else, like, and pretty much everything else. His putting's been bad, and his good drive's been bad. Other than that, I just want to bring that up. Who do you like in this range?
Well, if he had Michael Block's short game,
yes.
I got them all checked off except for Rory. It's weird about Scotty. You know what I mean? Like, Scotty's kind of in a down spot, and he's only finished inside the top five in his last three events. The weird thing about Scotty is, like, if you look at his rounds over the last three events, his worst round is always on Saturday.
Yep. That's a good point. His struggle bus is hard.
Really strange. I mean, I don't know what's going on there on Saturdays, but he's just
on moving day. Or more so on Friday nights.
Yeah. I mean, but he's a really, like...
Yeah, he's not a he's not a go out and do stuff guy.
No, he's like, I don't know. It's just strange.
Then again,
I don't
Tiger know. Wasn't at one time. I'm just kidding.
Do what?
Then again, Tiger wasn't at one time either.
Right. doesn't even drink coffee.
Scotty is. I'm just saying.
Scotty doesn't even drink coffee in the morning.
Yeah, does he go and get pie at night at the local coffee house?
Yeah, I mean, maybe who knows? But, like, there's some kind of something in his mental game there that's just fucking him up on Saturdays, but. Obviously, like Scotty, John Rahm, you know, I mean, he is what he is. Should have won this back-to-back in 20 and 21. Cantlay's got great course history. Third, first, 32nd, seventh, first, fourth, 35th. And I was thinking, you know, Cantlay's having a down year, too. But
he's not.
He's not. He hasn't missed a cut since Phoenix. He's finished inside the top basically 21 in every event since Phoenix. Got a couple of, you know, top five sprinkled in there. He's having a really good year. And then Xander, I think, is very playable too. He's made the cut every year since 2018, finished inside the top 20 every year. But with the price, I mean, you got to have a winner. So, you know, if I'm going to drop one guy, it's probably Xander here. Obviously, like Scotty and Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler and Rahm, hot takes there. So,
yeah, we're on the same page. I have them all checked off, but Rory, just because if I get to pick
Rory, anything, probably wins.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You can finish the podcast now, guys. We'll stop. Like, yeah,
just pick Rory.
I'll give you my Venmo.
Yeah.
Just let me know how it goes for you. But yeah, Scotty, Rahm's Rahm. This is like not heartbreaking analysis here. I'll take Rahm over Scotty. I'll say that much. But they're both, and every time I pick one or the other one's the one that does well. So again, go with that knowledge as well. But when it comes to Cantlay and Schauffele, it's really interesting. Cantlay, honestly, per price, I could see myself having more Cantlay over Rahm and Scheffler just for his history and the way he plays here. Like, there's certain, like, we know Cantlay is one of those guys that has certain courses he loves and just dominates. Yeah. And this is one of them, 100%. So I like the idea of Cantlay. But the reason I want to keep Xander in the pool for now is he'll be probably the lowest in this range ownership-wise because of everything you said. You're not wrong. You're not wrong on what you said. But he's third in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's seventh in approach. He's fifth in the par fives, 550 to 600 because they're longer par fives. He's fifth in par fives, or he's fourth in par five scoring over the last 24 rounds. He's fourth in bogey avoidance. We've seen Xander play tough courses very, very well. And you look at his past history here, 18th, 11th, 13th, 14th. So he's not like crushing it. Like you said, you need a winner. But he's showing that, like, he's probably like, what, two birdies away from a top five, maybe, the way this plays out. So it's a lot of what ifs. That is PGA golf in a nutshell. So if you want to look for leverage, I think Xander can't be completely ignored in this scenario. 9K range, you got Morikawa at 99, who just seems lost. Hovland at 97, J-Day at 94, the local boy. Hatton at 93, JT at 92, Sungjae, who, what the hell is going on with him at 91, and my boy Fitz at 9K. So this is a very interesting range to me.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to avoid it. I mean, Hovland is 4-4, made cuts at this event. Hasn't missed a cut in forever. He had a really bad Sunday. I don't know what happened there, but this past week, of course, coming off the second-place finish of the PGA Championship, still finished 16th. I think he's a really good play this week. Jason Day, like you said, lives in Columbus, Ohio, and so is familiar with the place. He's played here a lot. 31st last year, 4th, 7th, the 2 years before that. So, and it's coming in better form, way better form than I would say last year. He's got a win under his belt. He did miss the cut at the PGA Championship, but I wouldn't really hold that against him. And then Hatton for me at 9,300 is also in play. 33rd here in his only start in 2019. Has been playing just really, really, really good golf for Tyrrell Hatton. I want to click Fitzpatrick's name, but you tell me, man. You're more of the Fitz whisperer than I am. It's just kind of odd him coming off the missed cut, back-to-back missed cuts at this event. I feel like this would be a good place for him.
Yeah, on paper, it's a great place for him. I guess I probably have had him on both missed cuts the last 2 years here. I guarantee you I've been, because I'll be in on him again this year because it does fit his game perfectly. It fits it extremely well. The missed cut at the PGA, again, grain of salt stuff there. 35th at Wells Fargo. You won the Heritage. This should set up for him. Now, he was obviously cheaper than 9K back in the day, so you could kind of like throw him in here.
Not much, though.
That's true. He's like in the mid eights.
So he was not. No, it was 9-1 last year, and he was 8-7 the year before that.
So that's about right then. It checks out. He's 23rd in my model. He's 11th in bogey avoidance. He's 21st in the par fives. Like, he doesn't like light the world on fire anywhere else, but the bogey avoidance is huge. His short game's been tremendous lately. So I do like Fitz at 9,000. I'll be on that train. Problem is I love Hatton. We've been riding that train for a while now. And he has not disappointed.
Yeah.
The run he's been on is nuts. 15th at the PGA, 5th at the Nelson, 3rd at Wells Fargo, 19th at Heritage. He's just performing awesome. Awesome. And you talk about his past history. He hasn't played much. 19th, finished 33rd. Much different golfer now. Like, he's 5th in my model. He's 6th in par 4s, 450 to 500. He's 9th in bogey avoidance. He's 18th in good drives. He's 11th around the green, 11th in approach. Like, he just does everything well. So I love Hatton. Day was the other guy I had knocked off here. He's had, like, recently he's played well here, and in general he's playing great. So those are the guys I'm looking at in this range. It's going to be fun because, like, Morikawa's got the history here, but he's playing garbage golf right now. Like, you just can't put it all together. That could change in the moment's notice. But, yeah, it's I am definitely in on Hatton, but I like Fitz as well. I'm going to keep going to it because I this, like you said, is a perfect golf course for his game. 8K, you got Spieth at 89, Cam Young at 88, Hideki at 87, Burns 86, Fowler 85. Fowler got into the U.S. and British Open with his performance last week. Sahith Theegala, 84, Corey Connors, 83, Wyndham Clark, 82, Lowry, 81, and then Siwoo and Adam Scott at 8,000. I've almost checked everybody off in this range.
This is a good range. I mean, this is a
cash game specialty in this range.
Do what?
You can make a cash lineup in this range.
Yeah, this is like major championship type of stuff here. Ricky at 85. I was really mad at him for his miscut at the PGA Championship, and he turned right back around and finished sixth last week. So obviously that was just a bit of a fluke at the PGA. Theegala at 84. Two of two made cuts here. Finished fifth here last year. Hasn't missed a cut since the Sandersons back in November, the fall, whenever that was. Corey Connors, when you think about a place that like Corey Connors would play well, it's low scoring or high scoring, however you want to put it. Basically, the winning score is not that high. He's never missed a cut here since 2019. And every start, he's made the cut. Best finish was 13th, which was last year. And he's coming off a 12th place finish at the PGA Championship, finished 8th at the Wells Fargo. Feel like it's setting up for Corey Connors chalk week, but probably gonna have to eat it. Shane Lowry, 32nd and 6th in his last two starts at Jack's Place here, coming off the 12th place finish at the PGA Championship. He's kind of had an okay year, but I like him this week. Love Adam Scott. Never missed a cut here since 2013. I'll most definitely play a lot of Adam Scott this week if I had, you know, if I played more than one lineup, which I may. I'll probably put him in all of them because he's just – dude's just balling out right now. And like I said, the course history is there. And then last but not least, Siwoo surprisingly has really good course history at this tournament. He withdrew in 2017 but has not missed a cut since then and finished 13th here last year, 9th the year before that. And he's coming off a 29th place finish at the Charles Schwab last week. Did miss the cut to PGA Championship, but was second at the Byron Nelson the week before that. And he missed it on the number at the PGA Championship. So Siwoo's sneaky, I feel like, this week. Of course, that's all dependent. I'm sure Mayo loves him. And if he gets the Mayo bump, it might be a little bit higher than expected. But there's some definitely, like you said, cash-worthy dudes right in this lineup. I mean, you can literally click three guys' name for sure, in my opinion.
You off of Spieth?
Yeah, I mean, dude, if he's not gonna make the cut at Colonial, like, no, I'm not on. I mean, his course history is pretty good, but I'm not.
He's seventh in par five scoring in this field, 12th in bogey point. Like everything I'm looking at, he does well, but his wrist, he does that with two wrists usually though.
Yeah,
so we'll see. So for me in this range, Hideki, I always just get gravitated to Hideki because the stats look great. He's $8,700. He's 10th in my model. He's 10th in par five scoring, 7th in bogey avoidance. When you look at history here with Mr. Hideki Matsuyama, DQ'd last year. I can't remember what that was for now. 62nd at missed cup and then 6th and 13th at one point. And, you know, coming in here, 29th at PGA, 23rd at the Byron Nelson. Don't mind him at all at $8,700. Ricky at 85, I'll 100% be back on. He does like this joint. But one of my favorite plays in this range is Sahith at 84. You mentioned the past history here. And you just look at his recent results. He's playing really good golf, like 40th at PGA, whatever, 56th at Wells Fargo, but 5th at Heritage. He's been on a run, knows the course well. So I like Sahith. You mentioned Connors, who I don't mind. Wendy Clark's playing great golf, so he could be in the player pool if I make multiple lineups. But these last three guys down here, like just to save some cash, Shane Lowry at $8,100, all over that, 32nd, a 6th here the last 2 years. So he will definitely be in for me, 12th at the PGA Championship. And then what you said about Adam Scott, love Adam Scott this week. I hope that we're the only ones that love Adam Scott, but I don't think that'll be the case. Well,
the one thing I think is, you know, Siwoo's right there, and then you got Corey Connors above him, Ricky above him. I hope, and a lot of people just don't like playing Adam Scott, which is weird to me.
Weird, because he just performed.
Yeah, he just makes the cut, makes and cashes a check every week.
Yep, he does, but we're looking forward to get 6 of 6 lineups. So that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
So I love Adam Scott. And then I do FC Woo. Like, Mayo will probably love him. You're probably right. but he's 30th in my model. You mentioned the past history. Siwoo loves courses like it. It's not a Pete Dye course, but Jack says about as close as you'll get to Pete Dye because he makes you hit certain shots like Pete Dye does. And that's what Siwoo does very, very well. So I am a Siwoo fan. You mentioned the past history. The current form isn't bad either. So I'll definitely on board with some Siwoo Kim this week. 79 to 75, you got Tom Kim, Griot, Bradley, Cam Davis, who let everybody down last week, Gary Woodland, Keith Mitchell, Denny McCarthy, English, Cooch, and Billy Ho. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, the Cam Davis trunk slam was something else, man. Tom Kim at 7,900. I think like my model likes him. I think he's hitting the ball well enough. It's just the putter is not cooperating. So I would be willing to take a chance on him. Keegan, obviously ball striker, and it doesn't really matter about the putter necessarily. Well, it does to a certain extent, but in these lower scoring events, he can thrive. Kuchar at 7,500 is very interesting to me. He's made the cut three consecutive years at this tournament. Is definitely having a better year this year than he did last year, even though he missed the cut to PGA Championship, but has played very well. And then last but not least, Harris English, 7,500, missed the cut here last year, but was right around the lead until a 76 on Sunday last week at the Charles Schwab. Before that, he missed the cut at the PGA Championship, third at the Wells Fargo. So those are kind of two good comps there as far as places where, you know, it's not going to get to 20 under, and it's not going to get 20 under here either. Of course, the PGA Championship in between those was also not going to get to 20 under, but I like to pick and choose because I'm the tout here, so I get to cherry pick. Yep. So you missed the cut here last year, but made three consecutive before that. His best finish was in 2020. He was 13th. So I do like Harris English quite a bit this week.
Yeah, if you guys are looking for like comp tournaments, I like the Wells Fargo because I'm looking for distance / tough courses. So Wells Fargo, Torrey would be one. You could probably even put Riviera Genesis in there as well. If you just want tough courses, you got API, you got the players, stuff like that down there.
Yep.
But think about guys that have played well on those kind of tracks, not high scoring tracks, but you have to still hit good golf shots. Otherwise, they're going to eat your lunch. That's the kind of stuff you want to look at. For me in this range, I still have Griot checked off. I hate playing guys after they win, but he's 17th in my model. He should be. He just won a freaking golf tournament. But he's like 15th in the par fives, 550 to 600. He's 8th in the par fours, 450 to 500. And more importantly, when it comes to Griot, similar to last week, okay history, 32nd, miscut, 9th, 23rd. I just don't know what shape he's in, as we were joking earlier about his tweets lately. He's loving life.
Yeah, so. I'd probably avoid Griot this week, but yeah. I'm sure the stats are there.
And again, people really avoided well. Brooks last week. He finished 500 par in like top 14.
Yeah, Brooks but that
different.
Was
Brooks is different. I understand.
As in an exhibition.
Oh, we're going there. An exhibition that won him about $300,000.
Wow, whatever.
After that, I like Bradley a ton. It kind of goes back to the, you know, you talk about guys at the Wells, the Farmers, stuff like that, longer, tougher courses. He's on great there all season long. So $7,800. And I've pretty much been on him a ton this season, especially at these trickier golf courses. 29th at the PGA, 35th at Wells, 48th at Heritage. Make the cut, maybe make a run, see what happens. So I like that when it comes to Bradley. Keith Mitchell, he has West Coast swing was crushing it. It's kind of fallen off here on the last like month or two. If you look at the recent history here, 18th, 22nd, 48th, that kind of gets my attention. But like I said, recent form, 58th, 59th, that was at PGA and Wells, miscut at the Heritage. He's kind of scuffling, but maybe he just needed a breather because he's going hard there for a bit. The other guys I will have here would be Kuchar. You mentioned him. He's 11th in my model. He's first around the green, 8th in the par 5, 550 to 600, 9th in just par 5s in general, 13th in the bogey avoidance. And like you said, that past history stood out to me in a big way when I looked at it.
Yeah.
45th withdrawal, 32nd cut, 13th. The fact he's doing that with those good finishes when he does it is good, let alone, you know, miscut at the PGA, but then he's made a boatload of cuts before that. So 75, even in cash, could be interesting with Mr. Matt Kuchar. 7K to 74, who you like him?
So, been on at 7,400. I mentioned him that he finished second here in 2018. He has missed three consecutive cuts at this tournament, but he is having a much better year than the last 3 years for been on. Two consecutive top 25s for him, playing really good golf at the moment. Cebes, he's 2 of 2 made cuts at this event, finished 21st last week. Thomas Dietrich at 7,100 has never played here, but back-to-back made cuts for him on tour. And Svensson is 6,900, so I'll save him for the next round. That's all I got. I'm not a big fan of this below 75, above. I've got plenty below six, though.
Yeah, there are a lot below six. I'm with you there, but I'm 100% with you on Benny Ann. KH Lee's another guy. He's like, Ann was 16th in my model. KH Lee's 14th, fourth in par five scoring, seventh in good drives. And then if you look back on Lee, 53rd, 65th, 37th his last 3 years here. So he could be a guy to look at. Ryan Fox, if you're talking about guys that could hit it far and play well, Fox would be a dude, 21st last week, 23rd at the PGA Championship. He's 7,100 bucks. He seems like a guy that's close to really doing some damage. So I like him quite a bit. He played here in 19 and missed the cut. But that was God knows how long ago for him, like talent-wise, where he's been on his journey. Other than that, like Seabez, who you mentioned, I like a lot. Dietrich, I'm in on. Jägerbombs, if you want a guy that can tilt you, he's all or nothing, so he's interesting. But that's about all I have in this range, too. It's mainly like the big bombers or have some on or Lee fun as well. Now, 6K, like you said, you can go a lot of ways down here. So what do you like in the 6K range?
Yeah, there's Svensson at 6,900. He made the cut here in his only appearance last year, finished 45th. Three straight made cuts for him. Justin Suh missed the cut here in his only start in 2019, but he's just playing really, really solid golf right now for somebody who's $6,900. Garrick Higo finished 18th here last year. I mean, the form is not there coming in, but that one finish would allow me to play him some. I'm not, like I said, he's not going to be on my single entry team, but I would play him a little bit. Will Gordon having a solid year. Never played here. Ekroth had a good, solid 16th place finish last week. Finished second the week before that to Byron Nelson. Has never played here. Neesmith, your boy, from a couple weeks ago. Yep, 37th here last year. Had three consecutive missed cuts before that, but has five consecutive made cuts on tour. Batea Ashke at 65. He had a solid tournament last week. He finished 56th. He started well. He just had a shot 77 on Sunday. But three consecutive made cuts for him. He's never played here before, though, either. But he's one of the guys that I would. And then Ches Reavie at $6,200.
That's interesting.
It is. Two consecutive made cuts for Ches, pretty good. After during the beginning of the year, he missed six consecutive. So he's made five of his last six and has been playing solid golf. And he's got the good course history here, too. It's, he hasn't played here since 2020, but had a 22nd place finish. Did they play this twice in 2020?
Yeah, they played it back.
Yeah, they went back to back.
Because of COVID, they used it. Then they changed it up a little bit for the next round. I think Morikawa won the first week. And then that was Rombo Cantlay the second week.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I remember they
grew the rough out for the second week. All this, it was a whole different thing. Changed the tee boxes up and yeah.
Well, I mean, Ches at $6,200 bucks has made the cut here at the course five out of six times. So pretty good at somebody, $6,200 bucks.
I don't hate it. I'm with you on Justin Suh, 16th, 26th, the last 2 weeks on tour. Like when you talk about approach game, he's been pretty spot on of late, even though his stats don't mimic it. So it's a weird set of stats there. Alex Smalley at $6,800 bucks. We talk about recent form here, 40th, 23rd, 18th, his last three events, 18th is at Wells Fargo. So that stands out. Adam Shank at $6,800 bucks, second last week, three straight missed cuts, 31st. We know what Shank can do. He's had like really good finishes. Rough ones. He finished 26th here last year, so he could be one to look at. Streelman, I'm going to mention him, $6,700 bucks. He was hanging around this past week, finished 9th at the Schwab, 18th at the Wells Fargo, some courses to keep in mind. And then his history here, missed cut last year, then 13th, 54th, 4th, 44th. So he's had some decent finishes, playing some pretty good golf. He's not a bomber guy that most people would look at as like, oh, I got to play Kevin Streelman. So he'll usually fly under the radar. He's 33rd in my model this week. You mentioned Ekroth at 66, playing just really, really good golf. So I'm not against that one. Mark Hubbard at $6,500 bucks. He's 24th in my model. And I'm thinking, I usually like Mark Hubbard and Birdie Fest, not like tough golf courses. We look at his recent results, 9th at the Schwab, 75th at PGA, 27th at Wells Fargo, 18th in Mexico, 11th at the Heritage. So he's doing well there. But more importantly, we talk about tough golf courses. Mr. Hubbard here, $6,500 bucks. Didn't play here last year, 42nd, 72nd. So not great finishes, but two made cuts in his two appearances at this course. My boy Sam Stevens checks the box at $6,500. Yes, he is. $6,500. He's 29th last week, 72nd, 34th, 47th. Four straight made cuts for Mr. Sam Stevens. So we're going to go his direction. You mentioned Neesmith. I have nothing else to say there except play him. I think he's just playing really good golf. Lipsky at $6,400 finished 16th here last week. But you look at 37th here last year, 48th in 2019. So if you're going cheaper for a guy that's played well here, don't hate it. And then I'll let you take the Reavy card. There's probably a few more dudes down here, honestly. Like, I don't hate the Reavy play, but I didn't go too much farther down here. But you could probably have some fun if you really wanted to get goofy down here. The one thing I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to play him at all. I'm just got a pure curiosity sense here because I like the guy. I think you do, too. What the hell is wrong with Kevin Kisner?
Yeah, I don't know. I've not followed it close enough, but he's had an absolute terrible fucking season. So I have no idea what's going on with him.
He hasn't played here the last 2 years. Missed cut in 2020. Made two cuts prior to that. And he's look at his current form, man. It's missed cut, withdrawal. Like it's.
Man, yeah, it's I don't know. Maybe he's battling an injury or something.
Maybe let's hope so because it sucks to see kids struggle. I like that cockiness and that just. I'm a down home boy.
Just think if he could hit it as far as Rory does.
Just think if he was paired with Block and they both got cut. You think that 2 hour photo session afterwards? Oh boy. All right. Let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, who you like him?
I'll say Rom.
I'll go with we already know it's Rom or Scheffler. I'll go with Cantlay to be different. I think this could be a week if you want to save a few shekels. 9K range.
Hatton.
It's Haddon. I'm not even going to be cute. It's well, you took it. I'll take Fitz. There you go. 8K range.
Adam Scott.
I like that. I'll go with Sahith. Sahith at 84. 75 to 79.
Harris English.
Give me Keegan Bradley. 7K to 74.
Bez. 72. Bez.
I'll go with Ryan Fox at 71. And who's your favorite 6K play?
Justin Suh.
I like that a lot. I think to be different, ownership's usually not too crazy down here, but I'll go with Kevin Streelman at 67. I don't think anybody's going to want to play him, at least I hope not. So that'd be pretty sweet. If you're starting a cash game lineup out this week, who are you starting with?
Yeah, it's Adam Scott, Corey Connors, and probably Ricky.
Yeah, I just flat out go, give me Kuchar, Scott, and Connors, and have fun. Just go that direction. But GPP, you can literally do scars and scrubs here if you want. Like, this is definitely a thing. So how are you building your GPP lineup?
Yeah, Rom, probably dip down, take me Ches Reavy, and then I'll go back up because then I would have 8,200 left. So I'd see Woo.
Yeah, I don't know how well this will work, but give me Cantlay, Hatton, and Sahith, and then get some cheapies. You can do it.
It's possible, for sure.
It is possible. So that'd be one. Obviously, there's many other ways to go in a loaded field like this. And that'll come to show you when we look at the odds to win this week. Scotty is 6-1. Rom is 7.5-1. Cantlay is even 10-1. Xander is 12. Rory is 14, thanks to his driving abilities. Vic is 18. Who do you like this week? Like Hatton at 25, got a little juice to it.
Like this week. I would probably click his name and sprinkle a little bit there. Corey Connors at 45, probably sprinkle worthy. Adam Scott at 55. I mean, the top 10 is 5-1, so not don't bad. Mind that. Then we start getting into some sketch territory after that. So, yeah, I mean, it's like bet John Rahm and like maybe bet the game tonight and the NBA game and try to hit that and double your, juice it up a little bit or something.
Yeah, I think Lowry at 50-1. If it's a tough conditions, it could fit him beautifully. That's what he loves to play in. Same with Fitz at 35. Be a couple dudes. Like, Euros play well here, and it makes sense if you look at the layout. Just put it that way. It makes a ton of sense why they play well outside of, like, Cantlay, obviously. But Euros play very, very well at this golf course, and it makes a ton of sense. So it'll never be on the Ryder Cup. Let's put it that way. It'll never be a Ryder Cup event. All right, that'll wrap us up. Any final thoughts before we talk RBC Canadian Open next week?
I don't. This is a fun tournament, so good luck.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping I get to watch more of it this weekend. Probably won't because it's supposed to be nice this weekend. I might go watch the Giants or something. Who knows? Play some golf. We'll see.
Yeah.
But you can check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. This was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast for the 2023 Memorial. Catch y'all next time.